Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov, nice to see everybody. If I could remind everybody, please, to turn off their phones, turn them down to silent. Every week there's always one little tinkle coming out of the room, but if we could all try, that's great. So last week we started a three-part series, and just to fill you in, for those who weren't here last week, we're talking about modern applications and technological applications of Tfilat Kelim, which of course was in last week's Parsha, if you're in Israel, and is in this week's Parsha if you're in Chutz Laaretz. So either way, we're kind of covered. And last week we looked at the first part of that, which was new materials, modern materials that didn't used to exist. In particular, the modern metals, like aluminum, that they didn't have in those days, and how the halacha relates to that, and glass, and ceramic, and porcelain, and all of that kind of stuff. So we started looking at that last week. And like I mentioned last week, this week I want to move on to the whole disposable culture. And it's not just a Tfilat Kelim issue, but there are other halakhic implications about disposables. We'll start talking about that soon. Next week I want to finish off the series with a look at electrical and electronic items, and this will expand beyond that subject as well, and we'll bring in some other things as well. That'll be that. And then after that we talked about other Starbucks related shiurim that I might bring. We'll see how that works when we get there. For now, let's talk about what we're going to do today, Be'ezrat Hashem. So I don't know when the disposable culture came in, maybe 30 years ago, probably in America a bit more than that, in England probably about that. There's now a move away from that. One of my friends who's very involved in the United Synagogue in England says that the United Synagogue in England, which is one of the Orthodox synagogue movements in England, has now got an anti-disposable policy. You are no longer able to use disposables for shul kiddushes because they harm the environment, at least that's the received wisdom, let's say, and therefore you now need to have plates and knives and forks and wash things up in the old-fashioned way. Of course, then there's the question is, does the detergent actually cause more problems than the disposables? But, okay, that's part of what we need to discuss a little bit. But people feel very strongly about this, either pro or anti. And, of course, having disposable things around the house makes life a lot easier. Instead of having to stand for hours and washing up, you just fold it all up, chuck it in the garbage, and you're done. But the questions we need to raise today are things like, and I've brought you a list here, do disposable items require Tfilat Kelim? Now, obviously not paper and plastic plates, etc. We talked about plastic last week. But I'm more interested in the aluminum trays that people use for cooking and reuse and sometimes keep in the freezer for months and months on end with food in them. They're Kelim. They last a long time. Why would you not need to take them to the mikveh? We'll talk about that. We need to ask about glass. Okay, everybody agrees that glass needs tefillah, but what if it's a disposable? Meaning, you buy coffee in a glass jar. Why do you not need to come home, tipple the coffee out into a bowl, take the jar to the mikveh, bring it back, put the coffee back in? You're using a jar. It's a glass jar. Why does it not need tefillah kelim? It's in contact with the food, etc. Maybe you have to do the same for your jam as well, and your honey and everything. What about using, and I want to go beyond this a little bit, what about using disposables for Kiddush and Havdalah? You can't find the kais, and use a plastic cup, that's okay. What about using a plastic cup for Netilas Yadayim? No one can find a proper kli, so just use a plastic cup, that's fine, or is it? Then there are a few ancillary issues, which are, do disposable plates, pans, and foils have cashless issues? Every now and then there's a little bit of a scare. Do they coat them with some kind of grease? Is that a problem? Is that trace? On Pesach there, when people get into very much halachic OCD mode, maybe it's not OCD, maybe it's a real issue, do we have a problem with disposable items, paper goods, which have got starch on them? Is the starch chometz? Is the starch kidneyot? I'm not going to talk too much about that. It doesn't feel quite right talking about kidneys in July, but we'll get to that maybe when we get back towards Pesach. Is it Baal Tashchis? You're not allowed to throw things away when you can reuse them. So I could reuse all my plastic knives and forks. Maybe I should just wash them. It'll take me 20 minutes and I can use them again and again and again. Plastic forks break every time you use them, it seems to me. But the plastic spoons and knives, they could last you for a lifetime if you really look after them. Is it Baal Tashchis to dispose of them? We'll look a little bit about environmental issues. I even saw there were two excellent shiurim, which I made a note here, by Rabbi Isaac Rice, who who is a teacher and a rav in America, he raises these questions and others. He even raised the question, there's a minhag to take metal knives off the table before benching. Have you ever heard of this? During the week. And it's based on all sorts of considerations. One consideration is that metal was not allowed to come into contact with the mizbeach. And our table is like, the Gemara compares our dining room table to a mizbeach, so we bring our offerings, if you like, and we have our connection with God through the mitzvahs we do at the dining room table. So just like metal was not allowed on the mizbeach, metal is not allowed on the table, etc. Does the same apply to plastic knives, or not? And you would say, well, no, because you're allowed to have plastic on the mizbeach. Of course, there wasn't a plastic then. Although somebody once told me, if you hear the Mashiach is coming, okay, imminently, buy chairs in Keter, plastic chairs as such. Because one of the things, plastic is not makabel tumah. It doesn't pick up tumah, according to most poskim. And therefore, there'll be a massive demand once we get back into tumah and tara mode. I'm sure people are aware, back in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, if you go to the burnt house, etc., in the old city, you'll see that the Kohanim chairs and tables were made from stone. Why? Because stone is not makabel tumah. What's the point of having a beautiful mahogany wood dining room table when someone comes and makes it tamei, just when you got it out from the mikveh and brought it back home again, some fool decides to come in and make a table tamei back to the mikveh with our dining room table? Because don't forget, back in those days, it wasn't just kalim in the mikveh, it was everything in the mikveh. So when Mashiach comes, do we need to go for stone, or maybe we'll go for plastic? So some business advice. You don't get much business advice in the shiur, but if you hear on the download that Mashiach is imminent, Keter chairs, okay? And I don't get anything from Keter for that product placement either. But plastic knives, you wouldn't need to take them off the table, unless, of course, you go with the other reason, which the Gemara brings, that there was once somebody who was so distraught at the Churban, when they were singing Al Naras Babel before benching, that they stabbed themselves in anxiety with a knife and killed themselves because they were so distraught. Now, of course, that's extreme behavior, but you never know who's at your dining room table. We've had all sorts of strange individuals around with us for Shabbos, but if they can do that with a plastic knife, maybe there's what to talk about, but that's not what I'm talking about today. Let's start from the beginning, which is a Mishnah. A very, very interesting Mishnah, because we'll see that disposable items is not a new thing. People have been making and using disposables for thousands of years. Let's have a look here. The Mishnah about 1900 years ago has a Mishnah in Kalim. Kalim, of course, deals with all of the Tumah and Tara aspects of Kalim. Kalim here doesn't just mean pots and pans, but it can mean clothes, it can mean furniture, it can mean anything really which is used around the house, not attached to the ground. And there are 30 chapters. If anyone's ever learned Kalim, you can always see Kalim when you're learning Mishnayos in memory of somebody. There's a list up. Kalim is always the one that's left with nobody's name on against it, because to learn Kalim is very, very complex. It goes through 30 chapters of every possible combination and permutation. It's very interesting as an insight into the ancient world, the kind of things they were using for, you know, hair combs and all that kind of stuff. But it deals with this issue of a chotal. Number one, a chotal. Now, what's a chotal? So what are chitulim?
Diapers.
Diapers. So you'll see in a minute why are called in Hebrew chitulim. So a chotal, shehu noitel letoicha v'noitel mitoicha. A chotal that you put things in and take things out, tamei, it's a kli. And therefore, if you use it as a kli, it is makabel tumah, it receives tumah, and therefore it will be capable of becoming tamei. The im einu yachol, but if you can't take things in and put things out, atche yikurena, until you have to tear it, basically you have to destroy it to get the stuff out, or atche yitirena, or until you unpick it, untie it, tahor, then it's not a real kli. It won't pick up tumah. Now, what is this chotal? Look in number two. Chotal, says the Rambam, is Atifa asuya misibim or hutsim v'domehem. It is a wrapper which is made from sibim, what's sibim? Fibers, or hutsim, or palm branches. What do they do with it? The hen ka'ein kli. We'll see, that's an important word. It's like a kli. Noitnim bahem et ha'perot halachim. If you have wet fruit or sticky fruit, you'd put it in them. Bismana machira, when you buy them. Kedei shelo yitenfo et hayad, so you don't get your hands dirty. What would this be in modern terms? Like a brown paper bag of some kind. Or a basket, like a flimsy basket. It's really there just to wrap the fruit up, to stop your hands getting dirty. And most people would just chuck it in the garbage afterwards and take the fruit out of it. And he says, we have the same thing in Mitzrayim, that's how they sell dates here. But who and he brings the posik in Yecheskel, always good to bring a posik from Yecheskel. You were not swaddled at birth, says Hashem to Yecheskel. You have to read the context there. But chutal means to wrap up. Interestingly, I looked up, why is a diaper called a diaper? What is the etymology of the word diaper? Because chitulim, you see where it comes from. It's from wrapping. So apparently it's from, this is completely unrelated to shir, but it might be of interest to you. It's from the word aspros, dia aspros, which is white, which is putting something white over something. So that's because, I mean, Greek apparently aspros means white. That's where it comes from. And of course I'm English, so we don't call them diapers. We call them nappies. And nappies just comes from the word napkin, okay, which is also... it's actually sometimes... Well, serviette's different. Don't put your serviette on your baby. It won't work. It's actually very just interesting in parentheses. Different cultures have different ways of describing things. I always think that in Hebrew, a motzetz for a baby is just very descriptive of what the baby does. It sucks the motzetz. It's called a motzetz because it means to suck and suck. In America, what do they call them? Pacifiers, because most of my focus, the nebuch, the baby is upset. I want to help the baby. Pacify the baby. In English, what do we call them? Dummies. I don't care what the baby thinks. Just get rid of that noise. That's the English mentality. Dummy just to make someone shut up. So you see a lot about the culture from just the words they use for things. But anyway, that's just a side issue. So again, let's go back. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, if I have one of these semi-cleats, wrapping cleats for the fruit, then if I can put things in and out, if I can reuse it, then tame, it's a cleat. Or it's capable of becoming tame. If I have to rip it apart to get the fruit out, then it's not usable, then tahor, then it's not a cleat. Let's move on to the next level. We'll soon apply this to disposable today. The Tosefta. Now what's the Tosefta? The Tosefta is a collection of those the Tanaitic material, if you like, from the time of the Tanaim, from the time of the Mishnah, that didn't make it into the Mishnah. It fell on the cutting room floor, if you like. They picked it all up, put it in a drawer, and said, if we need to put it together, we'll keep it. And that's, of course, what happened. The Tosefta is a collection of, as it were, Mishnayot. They never made it into the Mishnah, and they made it into this, and the Gemara, and other places. So the Tosefta adds another example, number three. Hakeren. Now, what's a keren? A horn. Shehu mishtamesh bo, you use it as a sort of a chatpami cup, yeah? Umashlicha, and then you throw it away. I just need a quick drink. There's a horn, there's an emptied out horn over there, as you would normally find around your house. Emptied out horns lying on the floor. But if you're agricultural on a farm, maybe you would. Sahira, that's fine. That's not a cleat. It's just you're using it, throwing it out. Chashav aleha, but if you think, now this is a new thing. If I intend to use it on a more permanent basis, then from the minute you decide, you know something, this is taka, a good cup, I'm going to wash it up and keep it in the kitchen, that's makabel tuma. You've turned it into a kli by your attitude, and that's going to be very important. It's not just objectively a kli or not a kli, it depends on how you view it. Similarly, number dalad here, it says chotal, the same case of, what's that? A horn. Keren is a horn of an animal. If you hollow it out, you can use it as a cup, as a goblet, whatever it is.
So it does seem permanent.
It does seem pretty permanent, but if you decide it's chatami, you throw it in the garbage, then maybe it depends what kind of horn, what kind of animal. I'm not big on animal horn use, but something you can look into. But if you look in Dalet, chotal, shel tamar, but if you have one of these wrappings that we saw from before, shehu atid le'chol tamra v'lozarkai, if you're going to eat the date, and chuck it, throw it in the bin, tahor, like we said, it's just chatpami. You're just going to use it once. Chashav lachachnis, lachachnis ulahoitzin. But if you had in mind, and again, here it's not that if you can, it's if you decide to, min habayit, okay, u min hasadeh, whether it's in the house or in the field, tamei. Now, this is interesting. What if you're unusual? What if the thing really is very flimsy, but you're very parsimonious? And you like reusing these kind of things because waste not, want not. Is this what it's saying? Sorry. Is this what it's saying? That you can upgrade, if you like, if you decide you're going to reuse it, to a real bona fide kli. Sounds like, and in fact when the Rambam brings this, the Rambam paskens these halachas together in Hilchos Kelim, and he brings both together. Look at the Rambam number 4. This will set up the parameters for our disposable questions. Chotar shel hutzin, number four. If you have a wrapper made of date palms, shemanichim bo harotev, you put wet or moist stuff in it, kiyotzibo. I don't think he means liquid mamash, he means like sticky fruits. If you put things in and out, use it regularly, then it's tame. But if it's so flimsy you're not able to use it twice, it literally falls apart. Or, he says, or even if it's good enough to use more than once, but you don't want to use it more than once, you had in mind to throw it in the garbage, tahor, then it's okay, it's not a real kli. So says the Rambam, even if it could be used multiple times, but you don't want to because you relate to it as a disposable chapami, you can throw it away. You can see already how this is going to have a big impact on the way we relate to disposables today. Many of the things we use, a paper cup, certainly a plastic cup, is totally capable of being used 100 times if you're just careful with it. But we don't. We use it, throw it straight in the garbage. But so the Rambam, it sounds like it's going to be okay, so that's not a clean. It could be a kli, but for you it's not a kli, because you'd have no intention of using it. But chayin, similarly, a keren, which is more sturdy, shu mishtamish bo mashlicha, einu makabel et tumah, if you decide to throw it away, even though it's a sturdy kli, it's not makabel tumah, the imchashav aleh makabel et tumah, but if you decide to reuse it, it is. So it sounds like there are two factors. There's number one, your kavanah, and there's number two, whether it's just capable of being used again. Why would it be not a kli? So the Kesef Mishnah, and it's obvious why, says Havit Hashmish Arai, because you're using it in a temporary way, and therefore we need to plug this now into the modern poskim. The modern poskim all go back to this Mishnah, this Tosefta, and this Rambam. So let's see, I want to show you now three poskim. I want to first show you the Chelkas Yaakov, the Yaakov Breish from Switzerland. I want to show you Rav Menashe Klein, the Ungvar Rav, from Yerushalayim, and also I want to show you Rav Moshe Feinstein. And that will hopefully give us the range of opinions on what to do with these aluminum pans. Because again, the main question is the aluminum stuff, because the paper stuff, no one really thinks needs to feel it anyway, because it's made from paper. But if we say that aluminium is a real metal that requires feeler, and you have to listen to last week's show, let's assume we do say that, then what are you going to do with these pans? Now, when you buy these pans and you use them in the oven, let's take a vote. Do you reuse them? Who reuses them at all? How many times do you reuse them? Several times, meaning four, five?
No.
Less than four, five?
Yeah.
Two? Once or twice. You'll see this is very important. Anyway, any increase on once or twice, I feel like an auctioneer. A half a dozen times. Sold to the lady with the hat over there. Okay, half a dozen times. Okay, she wins. So we'll see. It's how many times you use them is going to be very important. Let's have a look here at number six. The Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breish, about 40 years ago, 50 years ago, he has the following shaila. V'nidon karot shel niyar hamutzupim bezil paper. All these plates which are covered with silver foil. Okay? Ha'asumi mesechet aluminium. And they're also made from aluminium. Im tzrichim tefila kishenil kachim me'akom. If you buy them from a non-Jew, do you need to go and toivel them? Maybe you should just pop to the mikveh with your aluminium trays. Well, we'll see. It actually doesn't matter who made them. Contrary to popular belief, it matters who owns them. If you have a Jewish-owned factory in China with all non-Jewish workers, they're called Jewish kalim, as it were. And you do not need to toivel them. If you have a non-Jewish factory with Jewish workers, then they are non-Jewish, if you like. And the people think it's who made it. It's not. It's whether you buy it from a non-Jew. That's what makes the difference. So have a look here in number six. Achein, lefia emet, yes, sir. I don't know. So that this was already 50 years ago. It's something which we saw last week that the coating is what you go by in halacha. So if it was paper which was coated with aluminum, effectively it's aluminum. Now, you're right, the ones we have today are not coated, they're just pure aluminum. I don't think it makes a difference, because it's the outside that makes the difference. Yeah?
I guess it's aluminum foil versus aluminum zinc.
Good, so we'll see aluminum foil is much less reusable, as it were. It's not a clear tool, because it's just a piece of sheet of paper, and it may not require it. The question is, does it have to be a cleat to require filler? Let's go on. Yes, sir. And then I must go on.
A glass cleat can be used for either milkets or flakes.
Good. That's the kashrus question. We're going to get to kashrus later. We're not going to get to kashrus. Good. I'm not talking about kashrus now. Yes.
So if you buy it from a store owner, Jewish.
If the store owner is Jewish, and he owns the materials, then he doesn't need filler.
Even though he may have gotten it from
a doesn't matter. Oh well. No, 1 second. That's a good question. If it was bought by a Jew who bought it from a non-Jew, so that's a good question. I think that would require tefillah, because the source of it, if you like, was a non-Jew, was never toivel. He didn't have to toivel it, the Jew, because he wasn't using it for tefillah, but I'm not sure about that. Let's have a look at Rabbi Nasha Klein. Lots of exciting questions on this topic. Who would have thought this was so exciting? But anyway. Achein, lefia emes. Near lefia nias daiti, de ein sarach tefillah. Okay, there's your first answer. Forget about it. You don't have to toivel it. Just use them, and you're fine. And he puts in brackets, and I've already told you that on the phone, he says. I don't know whether he's a little bit irritated that he had this discussion and then somebody then sent him a shaila and asked him all over again. Since there is an impermanent use of these, they're not permanent trays, you throw them as soon as you use them, you throw them away. And he quotes that Rambam. Then Mishnah Mefureshes. This is also a Mishnah, and he quotes the Mishnah we looked at. Veloshan Arash and the Rash on the Mishnah there. Vahavi Hatis Tashmish Arai. It's temporary use. Now he said you throw them away straight away. Does he mean mamash straight away? We'll see. The Rav Moshe picks up on this. Harilanu Mavor Miloshan Rambam Tosefta. We see from the Rambam Tosefta the Hadavar Toli V'Machshav Toli. Rav Yaakov Bryce says it really depends on you much more than the kli. If you relate to this as disposable, then it's disposable. She'im b'data lizorka, tekaf, achat tashmish. And again, it sounds straight away that you want to throw it away. If you throw it away straight away, mikra tashmish arai, that's called temporary use, ve'ein makabel tumah, and it doesn't pick up tumah. Now there's another stage he has to go in order to get to tefillah. Ve'im kein lefi p'tako shel ha'tshuvas ha'shav Yaakov, and he goes to the Shav Yaakov here, Muva b'yad Ephraim, which is brought in this other safe, and the Inyan Tano Beis HaChoyrev, this winter oven, which you heat the house with, the Ein Tzarech Tefillah, you don't have to toivel it if you're cooking it. People used to cook in the range, right? It was a heater, and it was also an oven. These big black things, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? So he says, you have to toivel the thing, the food is it. No, it's all attached to the ground. Came to have him a chubba l'karka, the Ein Makabel Tumah. It's not Makabel Tumah. Things which are attached to the ground do not pick up Tumah. And we'll see this next week when we talk about electrical stuff. In Cain, Kasha Cain, Namila, Inyan, Tumazza. So all the more so for this, what we're talking about with the aluminum trays. Shiyata Klim, Rishus Akum, Rishus Yisrael. You bought this from a non-Jew, and it went into Jewish hands. Doesn't matter, Eina Tzarech Tefillah. You don't require Tefillah. Min Hagam Shal Yisrael Torah, because the minhag of the Jewish people is binding. The Dava She'enu Makabel Tumah, Eina Tzarech Tefillah. And this point we talked about last week is not obvious. He makes this connection between Tumah and Tara and Tfilas Kalim and says, our minag is and our halachic position is, if it's not Makabel Tumah, then it doesn't require Tfilas Kalim. And he puts that together and he says, since it's not Makabel Tumah, because it's temporary, you don't have to take it to the mikveh. Now we saw last week, not everybody agrees on this. Maybe Tumah and Tfilas Kalim are two different things. For example, earthenware. Earthenware definitely doesn't require Tfilas Kalim. But it definitely is Makabel Tumah. It's a different kind of category. So there are those who will say, what's it got to do with wanting to do this? But no, this is our position. This is true also of this Tfilas Kalim, which we said last week was a kind of geirus. It's a kind of conversion to the Kalim. We saw what was the reason for Tfilas Kalim. Because they went from the lower Kedusha level of being used by the non-Jewish world, and now a Jew uses it on a higher level of Kedusha. One of my Rebbeim once said, he felt that you should really take your car to the mikveh. I think I mentioned last week. Because a Jewish car is, a Jewish-owned car is not like a regular car, use it for mitzvahs. I heard on Shabbos, I was talking to one of my friends on this, they said that Rav Moshe Tendler, in YU, used to give the Tfilas Kalim module in the YU Smicha. And he said he was in his class, and one of the students asked him the following shaila. They said, if you have an artificial intelligence, a robot, that becomes so self-aware that it says, I want to become Jewish. I want to do Geirus. Okay? What are you going to do? with a robot that wants to be Jewish. You asked it.
Get a robot to convert it.
Okay, you have to find a robotic... you're right, fine. So Rav Moshe Tendler thought for a few minutes and said, you know something? Let's see if it survives the tefillah and then we can talk again. I think he's a good answer. But the point here is that Rav Yaakov Reis says, forget about it. You don't have to toy with them. They're all right. Now, if you do keep reusing it, there is going to come a point, Rav Moshe is going to deal with this, when, I mean, come on. It's going with your machshava. You are actually reusing it now. There's going to come a point when you don't. You do need to toy with it, sorry. But he's, as far as he's concerned, when you just buy them and use them once or twice, you do not have to toy with them. And this seems to be the minhag. I don't know here if anybody runs to the mikveh with their aluminum trays. I don't think many people do, but that seems to be the minhag. You don't have to. Now, Rav Menashe Klein, the Ungvar Rav, he has a different approach, and he's very unhappy with this. Look at number 7. Kli aluminium shemishtamshim rag pam achat. Each rishim tefillah. Now, he says very clearly, if it just used once and then thrown away, do you have to toy with it? But when you asked him, he said, "Oy betavnis shalnia aluminium shebishtamshim ba America." He sounds like he's talking about the real aluminium trays. Rak pa'amayim achadim. They only use them a few times. Ulefa'amim rak pa'am achad. They sometimes only use them once. The implication being in Israel, you don't throw stuff away when you don't need to. Okay. Below your third, ichayav mitzvila. Do you have to do tefillah? Lehine. Says, how many years have I been telling everybody that they do need tefillah? You have to toggle these aluminum pans, the disposable ones. I don't care if you don't use them many times. The gamma talachot, so too with plates, all and so too with cups. If they're made from aluminum, I don't care how many times you use them. You have to toivel them. They're perfectly capable of being used. If you want to use them, for whom this is a bona fide metal, he says, is a real metal. Just because you use it once and throw it away, what does that mean? It's a kli. If it's a kli, it's a kli. Let's say you're super rich and you're China, or better still, your glass plate. You use them once, you throw them in the bin. You don't like washing the dishes, so just throw them away and buy new. Maybe it could be at some point in the future the glass will be so cheap people really regard it as disposable. It used to be glass was very expensive, right? And you used to talk about cashering your glass. Anyone remember like before Pesach with all the glass in the bath, in and out, 3 days in the bath, people. People don't put their glassware in the bath anymore. You know? It's so cheap, it costs, you know, pennies now to buy new cups for Pesach. But let's say you mamash throw them away. He says, so that doesn't mean it requires tefillah. Of course it requires tefillah. You just happen to be super rich and super wasteful. So but that's nothing to do with the kli. If the kli is a good kli, then it requires tefillah. I don't care what you think. Okay? So you have to toggle your pants. But what about what we said in the Mishnah? Isn't the Mishnah and the Tosefta, the Rambam said, but it's your machshava. If you think of it as, what does he do with that? And the answer is, right now, look at number 8. Rufi ani asaiti, if you ask me the question from this Mishnah about the machshava, that is subjective, ein misham ra'a klal ledidam. That's got nothing to do with our case. The hasam, look what he says, and it makes a lot of sense. The hasam b'chotal, with this wrapper, you remember the wrapper with the dates? Mayu she'enu kli mitzvad atzmo. It's not objectively a kli. Shehei roi letashmish, that is usable. Shehari ein roi litol mashe betoicha achikrena or yitirena, because most of the time people are going to have to rip it apart or undo it. The gamal achotal shechoshev leechol mashe betoicha ulazarko, and if you are talking about one of these wrappers that you're going to think about using again, mayri nami da achotal mitzad atzma einu kli asui letashmish elal oitem atzmarim. It's not objectively a kli. Think about it. This chotal that we talked about in the Mishnah is not like our aluminum pans. This chotal was basically a brown paper bag or something very, very flimsy. If you decide to upgrade it to permanent use and or regular use and you can make it work, good for you. You've subjectively turned it into a kli. This is what they used to use them for. This wrapper itself is not objectively kli. Then of course it depends on your intention. You can make it, or you cannot make it a kli. And if you decide to rip it apart, and throw it in the pach, aval bedidan, our case of the aluminum, to have a kli gomor. It's a proper kli. Who are you trying to kid? The habet charoshet asui kli gomor. The factory made it as a kli. She'eshev royal amod yamim rabim. How long can you keep these things? Well, like I said, if you put them in the freezer, you can keep them for years. They will last forever almost. The asui yishtamish lahachnis lahoyse. They're made to put things in, take things out, put things in, take things out. Ain't the nafkim in a batash misharoyalah. I don't care whether you use it once. This is a bona fide kli. Unlike the things in the case of the Mishnah. If someone were to buy a real cleaver, yitzelishdamish bar rak aray, and want to use it just once, mutelishdamish bar, but need tefillah. The light have it kli. Chas v'shalom lo mekayim. God forbid you should say it doesn't need tefillah just because you are wasteful and throw them in the bin. And therefore he paskens that you are obliged to toivel your aluminum pans. And there are other people that say this as well. Rav Avadi Yosef, he also paskens that aluminum pans, even if a chab parmi, you have to toivel them because they are objectively bona fide kalim. The fact that you want to throw it away is no different from a glass kli. What about the so-called heter? Aren't you allowed to use something once without toiveling it? People heard this idea. People say, yeah, but you're allowed to use it once without toiveling it. This is a bubbermeister. There is no basis for this in halacha. There's no, if one use is a use. People, I think, are confused because there are certain things you don't really have to toivel at all, like a Coke can, for example, for all sorts of reasons. So you're going to, people are saying, oh, because you only use it once, you don't know. It's not because of that. It's because it doesn't require tefillah. Or if you're in a hotel and you're eating off their dishes, why don't you have to run and toivel the dishes? Because they're not your kelim. They're klei tzchira. They're used for business. They're not used in a way which is called klei seuda. And therefore, there is no heter even to just... People have these mishigasim sometimes. I had a student once, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, and she... it was nearly Havdalah time. We were finished, you know, eating Shabbos Suddas, we were sitting on the couch schmoozing, and she suddenly got out like a chocolate bar, started eating it. Now, you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. It was already nearly dark. So she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, this is okay, right? So I said, well, not really. You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. And she said to me, but I thought there was like an 18-minute rule for everything. You know what she said? Isn't there an 18-minute rule? Like what, for everything? For candle lighting? For Havdalah? For Shomer Negiah? I don't know what. You know, there's an 18-minute rule. People have these things in their heads. I said, no, there's no such thing as an 18-minute rule. It's like, you know, for some of the... So there's no such thing that you're not allowed to, that you are allowed to use it once. That's a bit of a mishigas. Now, let's go over the page. So we have two opinions. We have one opinion of the Chassid Yaakov, you don't have to toivel your pans. One opinion of Rav Menashe Klein, you do. Let's have a look at what Rav Moshe says. Number 9. It's quite a well-known tshuva. Kedesh mishdashim behem pam achan le'inyan tefillah. Fine. Hine kelim, number 9, kelim asuim l'shimush pam achat. Things that are meant to be chad parmi. Ki al harbe pamim einam ru'in. Because they're not really usable multiple times. V'rubba da'alma einam doichakim asman. Most people don't try and push it and use them many times. Kevin she'ein d'mehem yikarim, because they're not that expensive. Da'ein mishdamshim behem ela pam achat. They just use them once. Aval yeshe doichakim asman u'mishdamshim bo bet or gimel pamim. But there are some people who are, like I said before, want to reuse this, and they use it two or three times. Im tzrichim tefillah. Now, he's asking a slightly different question. He's going to say in a minute that if it's only really usable once, then of course you don't have to toivel it. But what if it's only usable once, but you push yourself to use it two or three times? And you're unusual. Look what he says. Al kol panim chazinan de beloy mitkainim elez man katsar. If it really only is usable for a very short time, even if you are weird and you use it multiple times, you're okay to go. You don't have to toivel it. If these kelim, which are impossible to use, even if you force them, rak bet or gimel pamim, einu makablim tuma. Now he's changed a little bit. He said, it's not dafka once. This is why I asked you how many times you use your pan. If it's only usable once, twice, three times, even if you force yourself, you don't have to toivel it. Rakim eshelehit kaim har bezman, but if you are able to use it for a longer period, more than two or three times, ach bishvil hazol, but because it's cheap, ein mishdamshim, you don't do that, mistabidu makabel tumah. That, it could be, is makabel tumah. In mele esha, and there's a debate as to the wording here, shrichim tfila, maybe they need tfila. Now, what's he saying? Let's just kind of decode this. He seems to be saying, if you buy something which is physically incapable of being used more than two or three times, then you don't have to toivel it. But if it's, even if you do use it more than three times, because you're very unusual. But if you buy something which is actually capable of being used more than two or three times, it's just that you don't use it because most people are rich, then you do have to toivel it. So according to Rav Moshe, do you have to toivel aluminum pans, yes or no?
Yes.
It depends. Depends on the pans. It really depends on the pans. According to it, you can't just say yes or no. If it's a pan which is a sturdy pan, maybe the quality is different in America than in Israel. Maybe in different parts of Israel or America you can buy different quality pans. I'm not a big maven on the quality pans. Is it like a unit for how thick your pans are? There are thicker ones. So according to Rav Moshe, if it's one that's capable of use, you should toivel it, yes. So I don't know the answer to that question. He's talking about number of uses.
Right.
I don't know if he's talking about time. Meaning you could have a very flimsy pan, use it once, cook in it, and stick it in the freezer for a year and a half. Is that what he's talking about? But the minute you try and reuse it, it falls apart. So I'm not sure. It sounds likely that he's talking about number of reuses, because it's the reuse that makes it fall apart. What if you decide, if you buy something, you're going to just throw it away, but then you change your mind in the middle? Do you have to then, and we're going to get to that in a minute, you have to then say, oi, maybe I'll now clean it out and run to the mikvah and come back. So where are we going to go with this? There are a number of poskim that say you don't, poskim that say you do. I put here that a number of poskim say that it does depend on the intention of the owner, and I've given you some names here as well. If you are going to use modern aluminum pans many, many times, then there are many poskim that will say you do have to toivel them. And I brought you a list here. Rav Nevensal, Rav Vosner, Dan Padua in London, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, etc. Rav Belsky was made lenient, even if you're going to reuse it many times. But that's actually taka good shaila. If you're going to use them the normal once or twice, then fine. But if you're going to really reuse them, that is a real shaila. So what can you do? So some people say, look, forget it. You don't have to toivel them at all. Some people say, what's that? Throw them away. Use them, throw them, throw them away. Okay, you could just do that, use them once, throw them away. So some people say, what if I fold them down and destroy them and remake them again? So we'll see this when we get to electrical items. If the Jew actually destroys the kli and then remakes it entirely, then it's a new kli. It's a panim chadashos. It's called a completely new thing. So if you have electrical stuff, you'll see that if people take them apart and put them together again, maybe that's something that will exempt it from tefillah. I'm very good at taking everything apart. I'm not very good at getting it to work when I put it back together again. So I can do the first half of that if you want help. But what about these kalim? So there are people who want to suggest, Rav Cheskel Roth, the Carlsberger Roth, says maybe you can fold the sides down and then fold them up again and you're good to go. So other people say, nah, what is that? You didn't destroy the kli. They're designed to be foldy. And therefore, it gets into the question of what is called destroying a kli with electrical. If I just take the plug off, that I can do, and put it back on again, and put the plug on, is that called a new kli? Nah. So here also they say they won't really help, and that's the whole discussion. Fine, let's move on to other things. What about filas kalim for these bottles and containers? These glass bottles. If you have your coffee comes in a glass jar. So it's very much a permanent thing. You could use it for decades. Why does it not require tefillah? This used to be a big shaila when Snapple made their drinks in glass bottles. So what was the deal with Snapple? You just take the top off and you drink from the bottle. So this is even worse than a coffee jar. I'm not just using it to decant into my cup. I am using it as a cup. I am using the bottle to drink directly from. Do I require tefillah tefillah? So let's have a look. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a shchita knife. Does a shchita knife require tefillah tefillah? It's a nice shaila. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Do you have to toivel your shechita knife? Or what about your agricultural tools in the fields? Your shears and this, they cut all the wheat down. Do they all need tefillah kelim? So he says the Shulchan Aruch as follows, number 10. Sakin shel shechita or sakin shemafshitim bo. If you have a knife for skinning the animal or shechting the animal, Yesh misha amisha ein tarach tefila. You don't need tefila according to one opinion, because there are many processes that you have to go through before you actually get to the meal after that. But yesh chalkin, and there is another opinion, says the Ramah, but tovla tovla below brocha. It's good to tovla without a brocha. Why exactly? Maybe you would need tefila, maybe you'll confuse it, maybe you'll use it for other purposes. You have the shaila with pen knives and things like that. If you have a pen knife that every now and then you use to, you go camping, you use to eat, do you have to tovla it or do you not have to tovla it? Because it's really a pen meant for cutting things of trees, but you use it for cutting cheese. Is that a permanent? Is that, I'm not getting into that now, but that's a nice shaila. But then he says, habarzelim, shemetaknim bahem hamassas. These iron things that you fix up the matzahs with, what's he talking about? The rollers. You know, your rollers that you put the holes in the matzahs? They're for sure einem srichim tefila. You don't have to toivel those at all. V'kein kisui shekoifen ala pas la'afoytoi. If you have things in your pans that you use to cover the pan of the bread to cook it, to bake it, you don't have to toivel that. Aval kisui kideru, but the pan of a pot that you cook in, tarach tefila, that you do have to toivel. Why don't I have to toivel the rollers for the matzahs? So look at the shachin number 11. Dekeven shehadava shematakin oisa tzarech adayin tikkun acher. This is not the last stop. This is just a process. If I am using vessels, kalim, for storage, then I don't really need to toivel them, because that's not the end process for the sa'uda. If I'm eating with them or cooking with them, that's, if you like, the end of the line. But things which are used earlier in the line, certainly if I have sickles and scythes to cut down the corn, I don't have to toivel those. Maybe not these things either. So most poskim will hold that there isn't really a chiyuv to toivel your coffee jar, because it's not clay sa'uda. It's a storage jar. You're not drinking directly from the coffee jar. It's not a problem. Snapple, though, becomes a problem. Now, you should just know Snapple started making their drinks in plastic jars, plastic bottles. Which, why did they do that? Because they said, look, glass is very heavy, and it's costing us a fortune in haulage to schlep back and forth, and we're killing the environment by using loads of gas, just taking a load of the glass bottles up and down. So if we use plastic, it's much lighter, and therefore we'll save the environment by using plastic. The problem is, of course, now you use the plastic, what are you going to do with the plastic? Is it biodegradable? And you see here that in environmental terms, it's very difficult to know whether you're fixed actually makes it worse. Maybe you feel great that you've done an environmental mitzvah, that you've now done what they told you have to do to save the planet, and maybe it's true, but maybe it's not. Maybe what you're doing is actually making it worse down the line, and you just didn't realize. This is the difficulty with these things. So there is even a petition online, you can sign it if you like, to make Snapple in glass bottles again. Bring back our Tfilat Kalin Shilas. But many poskim ruled, including Rav Herschel Schechter, including Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that you cannot drink from a Snapple bottle. If you have a Snapple bottle made of glass, you must open it, pour it into a glass, drink from the glass, because the bottle requires tefillah. It's not like a coffee jar. Yes?
What about here? Reuse the jar
for something else. We're getting to that right now, okay? Rav Moshe Feinstein has what I think has become quite a well-known tshuva, where he addresses this, and he goes one stage further. He says, listen, not only do you not need to toivel it for storage, you don't need to toivel it to drink out of, and even if you reuse it on a permanent basis, you still don't need to toivel it. Lama. So let's have a look in number 12. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, V'dava hakan kanim v'atzluchiyot, sheyesh lo machmad shelakach minochri, and you bought them from a non-Jew, yesh, there's whiskey or drinks, v'shar mashkim, v'chein kli hakafe, also coffee jars, imsrikim tefila. Do these things require tefila? Look at what he says, and again, I brought you an extract from it, but it's really fascinating. These jars you bought from a non-Jew, and there's yesh for shalmashkim, she'enim karim ela bekleihem. Bekleihem. They only sell them in these. You can't buy the coffee loose from a bag. I suppose if you go to the health food shop, you can buy everything from a sack. But if you go to the supermarket, you have to buy them in a jar. I don't think that any of these things need tefillah. She wrote to Achash in Idroken, even if afterwards you want to empty them, Akli, they shtamish bol amashkim acherim, and you want to fill them up again. Grape juice bottles, yeah? You use the grape juice bottle and you think, this is a great bottle, I'm going to use it to put other stuff in, I'm going to keep water in it. You don't have to toivel any of these things. What's his right? V'tami hu mishum de kli nitbatal amashkim, nitbatal amashkim, because the kli is, and no pun intended, the kli is bottle. Batel in a Hebrew sense, as opposed to bottle in an English sense. The kli is not really, when you buy a jar of jam in the supermarket. What is your kavana? Now, you might think that you don't have any kavana. But, you know, if you read Rav Soloveitchik, halachic man, everything has a kavana. When you walk into the supermarket and you look at the jam jar, you don't just look at flavors. You're thinking hilchot tefilas kelim. That's how you look at the jam. So, what are you intending? So, the answer to Rav Moshe is, you intend to buy jam. The fact is that they make jam in a glass jar, but you don't care about the jar. You're not buying a jar. If you go to the checkout lady and say, what am I buying? She'll say jam. She won't say, both jam and a glass jar, which is useful for recycling. No, she won't say that. And he brings the rye, which is halakhic as well. Kidamatsina le'inyin matasheni. We see with matasheni. What to do with matasheni? Matasheni, you take every year, apart from Shemitah year, from the crop, and you take it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, the Chumash already says, many people live too far from Yerushalayim, so what can you do with the matasheni? Redeem it on a coin, take the coin to Yerushalayim, and then spend the coin in Yerushalayim on things which have Kedushas Maaseh Sheni. You have to eat them with Batara, etc. So, Maaseh Sheni money can only be used for food. You can't use it for the hotel, you can't use it for the Rabkav when you come up to Yerushalayim, you have to use it for the food. So if I buy a barrel of wine with my Maaseh Sheni money, is that prohibited because I'm buying wine and a barrel? And I'm not allowed to use Maaseh Sheni money for a barrel. It has to be for food. Says Rav Moshe, it's fine. Look in again, fourth line. Debekadi yain, sumon, if you buy closed barrels of wine, yatzakan kanachulin, then the barrel does not have Kedushas Maaseh Sheni. It's completely chol. Veninta shaloi kaname ha'akum kli klav. You're not buying the kli from the non-Jew. Rak etzel Yisrael nase kli kishaleka alzeh din tefila. When you buy a bottle of a jar of jam or a bottle of whatever it is, you're not buying the kli. It says, in Maaseh Sheni, you can buy the barrel of wine. Because the barrel is batel, it's subsumed within the kli. Now, what that means is, when you decide to reuse the kli, now for the first time, this kli is becoming an independent kli. Before it wasn't, it was just subordinate to the food. Since you just made it an independent kli, and you're Jewish, then this is called a kli which is made by a Jew, and therefore it doesn't require tefillah. You halakhically made it into a kli. Because before it was not. And therefore he says, you do not require tefillah. Even if the kelim were made independently, not just to put the juice in, and you decide to put it in, and this also covered by the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni. He says, but our bottles are made specifically by the factories for the juice. They're not just stand bottles which someone buys and decides to put juice in. They're bottles made specifically. So he said you can easily drink from it, you can refill it, you can use it again and again, because you made it into a kli, which is very brilliant. You think halakhically, and that's what he said about the snapple bottles. Other people disagreed. The 3DH said you should have kavana when you buy the drink. I'm buying the drink and I'm not buying the bottle. Okay, that's something new to think about at the supermarket. You know, when you're waiting in line and there's three people in front of you and you're going to be there half an hour anyway, so now you can think, you can have kavana on everything you buy specifically. I'm buying this and not that. There are worse things to do in the queue, tell you. One of the issues that people have is if they get a gift on Shabbos. Now, giving gifts on Shabbos is a separate issue. Are you allowed to give a gift on Shabbos? If it's usable on Shabbos, yes. If it's not, then maybe not. But what about the candies in the bowl? When you have candies in a bowl, you give them to someone, or nuts actually better than candies. Nuts in a bowl? I bought you a bowl, I bought you some nuts. So, they didn't toivel it. So, can you use it, or do you have to toivel it?
First time
use. Once only? Mr. Gassim, you can't do that. So, the answer is, most person will say, you really have to toivel it. You can't use it on Shabbos. Because the shop didn't toivel it. And by the way, even if the shop did toivel it, it doesn't work. Because it wasn't chayav in tefillah under the shop, because it wasn't used as clay stuka. And therefore, the shop didn't toivel it, and as I said, even if they didn't help, and the guy who bought it didn't toivel it, and you didn't toivel it, and now it's owned by you, you're stuck. You have to pull the nuts into something else and say, thank you for the bowl, I'll toivel the bowl and use it again after Shabbos. Okay, it's an interesting question, how that works. We had it. Oh, 18, no, you can't even use it for 18 minutes. I should never have mentioned that, right? Everyone's going to... We had a Shaila in our seminary, the Midrash Tehillah that I run. We gave gifts to teachers, etc. We bought them beautiful metal spoons, and then we put, the girls did beading work around them, made them really pretty, and it was very sweet, very nice. So then there was the Shaila, is that called a new kli? Do the people who receive these have to toggle them, or do we say this is a kli made by a Jew? Is what they did in terms of the beating called improving the kli, or is it actually making it worse because it's now like just a big mess or whatever? But okay, that depends on your perspective. So the psak was they have to toggle the kli. Fine, move on. Kiddush. So let's leave Tfilas Kelim aside for 1 second. Can I use a plastic or paper cup for Kiddush, yes or no? So there are 2 questions. First of all, is it or is not a kli? If you take the view, and this will follow quite strongly on from what we said before, if you take the view that a plastic cup, because of its very nature, is a kli because it's reusable even if you don't like using it again, then it's a kli. If it's a kli, then it's a kli. Then it's certainly good enough for Tfilas, for Netilas Yadayim, it just needs to be a kli. And it'd be good enough in principle, subject to the next point for Kiddush. If you take the view, no, it's not a kli. It doesn't require tefillah, because your subjective attitude makes it not a kli, because it's disposable. Okay, so it's not a kli. If it's not a kli, you can't use it for anything which requires a kli. You can't use it to wash your hands, and you can't use it to make Kiddush on. So, first of all, you have to take that first discussion and then put it into here. Again, if you say it is a kli, maybe it is good for Kiddush. If it's not, then how can you make Kiddush on something which is not a kli? Some people say, well, if you rinse it out a few times and use it, then you've shown it is a kli. That's what we said before. But Sif Eliezer says, really what we said before, that these things are kalim. If you look in number 13 for a second, if you look in the second line, Zadai Haborur Shemutze Lakadesh or Lahavdil Bahem. You can definitely make Kiddush on a plastic cup. You can wash your hands with a plastic cup. I don't care whether you throw them away because they are cheap. Again, that's you. But it's not the kli. The kli is a kli, and therefore he's quite lenient on using them for hand washing, etc. However, there is another factor, which is, it's not good enough for Kiddush that it should just be a kli. Look at number 14. Completely different topic, but we'll see how it ties in. The Gemara says, "Asar dvarim neru b'koshel brocha." 10 things are required for it to be a koshel brocha. What's a koshel brocha? That you use for wine for a mitzvah, or whatever it is, if not wine, for kiddushin, for kiddush, for havdalah, for because I'm Muslim, etc. What do they need? Ton hadachi, you need to wash it out. The shtifa, and rinse it out. Chai, they need to be chai. What does chai mean? Chai 18, very nice, okay? Very good. Umale, you need to fill them up. Itzur, ve'itzur, v'naitzur, v'shteyad. I'm not getting into all the other requirements. You have to hold it with pick it up with 2 hands and put it in your right hand and lift it a tefach above the table. Many people do not get that right. They hold a kais, let's say, for kiddush or for benching right on the table. You have to lift it a tefach above the table. Fine. Avinoisin eino, but you have to look at it. All of these things are requirements. So, for Kiddush, it's exactly the same, number 15. Mekadosh al kais malayan says, the Shulchan Aruch, you have to make Kiddush on a full cup of wine. Shelo yeh pagum, and it can't be pagum, which someone else drank from him, not getting into that now. V'taon kol mashitaon koshel b'kut ha-mazon. And everything that the benching cup needs, so too a Kiddush cup needs. So what is this chai? That the cup has to be chai. So most beforehand we explain that to do with the wine. That the wine has to be drinkable. It can't be so strong that you can't drink it properly. It has to be something which is... But there are some that say, no, it's about the cup. If you look in the Rashba, number 16, the Tosfos, he says, Perush chai, what does chai mean? Ala kos mamash, on the cup itself, not the wine. Kloimer, sheyitin bakos shalem. It has to be in no cracks. It has to be a complete cup. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Tzarech lachzor acha kos shalem. You have to find a complete cup. Now the Igros Moshe says, okay, so what's with the plastic cup? Is that called chai? Leaving aside whether it is or isn't a kli, let's assume that it is a kli, because if it's not a kli, you don't get off base one. But if it is a kli, is it good enough for Kiddush? It's good enough for Kiddush Yadayim, but is it good enough for Kiddush? So look what he says. Hine b'davar kais l'kiddush. Im rishayim l'atwa al kais shenasim inyar. Can you use a paper cup? Shehu kli rak l'shah, which is temporary. Sheshama asher asati, you heard that I prohibit this. Emet hadamar. Is this absolutely true? I do prohibit it. You heard right. Tosfos in Brachas explain, the Chaim b'Shabbos, he brings different places, b'Shem b'nei Narbonne, in the name of the Jews from Narbon, the Chai Shenema b'divrei matzrichim a kos shel bracha, hushi a kos gufa kli shalem. That the kos has to be shalem, not just the wine, the kos. But if the Chaim Shulchan Aruch, and this is in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Magen Avraham, the Asilu Nishba Rak, and look what he says, even if the basis shalamala is broken, what's the basis shalamala? So you have a cup and it has like a nice base on it, If the bottom of the vase is broken, then okay, so the cup's going to fall over. That's for sure no good. What if the top of the vase is chipped and broken? So you'll say, well, it still works. The answer is, it's not shaling. It needs to be shaling. Even if the top of the vase is broken, that is no good. Puzzle. Actually, good for shaling, even if the rest of the cup's good. Now, because kiddish tan koma shitun kosher, because I'm often alma, therefore he says, deba'ina sheheya kot na'er. It has to be a nice cup. Shirak kos kazer, kosher the brikas and modern the kiddish. Varai ani, and I see, he says, shikosher niyar, this paper cup, shihu rak lesha, which is temporary, al pamzer, just for this one, slavad, hu oid garua, it's even worse than a cracked cup. De'ein lo shum chashivas. It has no chashivas at all. At least the cracked cup is a silver becher. It's cracked. This is a nothing. Shavadai ainu roi lebrikas mazon kiddush. You can't use it, he says. Ach, kashileka kois acher, if you have nothing else, ulai yesh lahakel, maybe you can be lenient, but I don't like it. Why can't you use a plastic cup for kiddush? Because you've got no chashivas. It's just garbage, basically. It's garbage waiting to happen. You can't use that. You can't use that for kiddush. You need to finish 1 second. But since Eliezer says nonsense, not true. He doesn't say nonsense. He says with mechilas kvoidai, he says, I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree. Because he said, actually, a cracked cup is worse than a paper cup. Because a cracked cup should have been a full cup. But a paper cup is everything it's meant to be. It's not damaged at all. And therefore, the Sitz Eliezer says, you're absolutely fine to use a plastic cup. Obviously, a silver cup's nicer, but a plastic cup is fine. And therefore, you have this machlokes. Some people follow Rav Moshe, they will not use a plastic cup for Kiddush. And some people follow Sitz Eliezer, and they will. I think in America, they're less likely to use a plastic cup, in Israel more. That could be because, maybe not. Silver disposable. So I don't know if Rav Moshe will have any, he won't have any sympathy for silver disposables. They asked Rav Moshe, by the way, some of the people who knew him say, does it make a difference if it's plastic or paper? And he said, no, it makes no difference. The fact is you're going to throw it away. There are differences of opinion, what he said, etc. What about doubling up the cup? This is a thing, right? People do this, doubling up the cup. They use 2 cups. So that seems to have no basis in halacha at all. If it's disposable, it's disposable. Why do I care if it's doubled? In fact, some people say it's worse if it's doubled, because now it's weird. It's not even a normal cup. It's just some kind of double cup. But people do that. So I think my theory is, I can't prove it, that doubling the cup was when the cups themselves were so flimsy they hardly even held the liquid physically. People say, yeah, I remember plastic cups like this. You pour the thing and it just falls apart. So maybe that was where doubling the cup came from, but halakhically, it doesn't make much difference. Let me just point out a couple of titles and then we'll finish. Look over to page 6. 3 other issues. Using disposables at the Shabbos table. Is it Kavod Shabbat to use disposables for Shabbos? So for Seder night, there's already, it has to be Derech Malchus, Derech Cheres, the queen doesn't eat off disposable kelim, I assume. For Shabbos, so it's a cheshbon, right? You know, Kavod Shabbos is not black and white. There are different ways to be Mechavod Shabbos, not just with the plate, but with the food. You have to put it together with Shalom Bayis, which can cut both ways. Shalom Bayis could be, I'm not washing up for 3 hours, we're using disposables. Shalom Bayis used to be, I'm not serving my guests, could be, I'm not serving my guests on disposables, I'll do the washing up myself. It could go either way, and therefore you have to weigh that up, but there's no black and white there. The Tilus Shadayim we've talked about. Kashrus issues, basically there's no problem. And I brought you the deal here at the bottom, because if there is any grease used, it's very common now when they're manufacturing these things that they use agents to stop them from sticking. And those agents might come from trefa ingredients, fats, and such like. So there is a very small concern that there may be some fat on it. Most of it's burnt off because the temperature is way too high for it to remain. Even if it remains, it's such minute amounts and it's always being used more than 24 hours later. Basically, it is not a real cashless concern, and that's what almost everybody says. Just one last thing on the page 7. What about Baltashkit? Maybe I'll just mention a word on that and we'll finish. So how can you be allowed to throw all this stuff away? The answer is Baltashkit is not a prohibition on throwing things away. It's a prohibition on being wasteful. And therefore, if economically, both in money and time, it makes more sense to throw it away than to wash it up, then that's not Baal Tashvis. It's a bit like all the leftover food after a chasna. You know, how can you throw all that food away? We could employ people to come and pick it up and give it to... Now, there are now people who do this as a stocker, which is a wonderful thing. But if it's going to cost me $500 to get the food reprocessed and given out to other people, etc., then it's Baal Tashvis on the $500. So I'm better off throwing the food away. And therefore it is a, you know, when your grandmother tells you you've got to eat the food because it's al-tashkis, so the Gemara tells us, tashkis, tashkis, the gufa is worse. Yes, sir.
That's the idea of al-tashkis.
Right. Right, then you can use it. So I wouldn't worry about baltashkis. Environmental issues you can go away and think about. Because again, there is definitely a hashkafic and maybe even a halachic positive in a serious way. So we had a whole shir on this. I referred you in the bottom to the shir on climate change and environmental issues. The problem is, of course, knowing what's real and what's not real. And not just what people say. Therefore, you know, once you can get to the bottom of that, then let me know. But if you can protect the planet, then that's a good thing to do as well. But how you do that, you'll have to work out. We'll leave it there. Next week, we get into toiling toasters and kettles and things like that, and other issues that relate to that. And then we'll move on to a new topic.